The following audio is intended for mature audiences and contains adult content, graphic language, graphic violence, and strong sexual content. Viewer discretion is advised. Welcome back to Fedora, everyone. My name is Tony, otherwise known as Slate. I am here with my friends Mayhem.
Hello.
Norbit. And Mouse. He's just going to stay silent.
Hi!
Okay, whatever.
I knew that's what he was doing. I just didn't want to say anything.
Got it. Okay, yeah, sure, fine. It's all good.
Get wrecked.
I do have to give it's not a big recap. We last left off where there was this big fight where that Tiny Tina, the T-Rex, died. There are three champions left and a tiny weenie guy. Mouse is also still in the Feywild as well, so we have to get through that here in a little bit.
Don't forget about Shitbag's lottery.
Oh yeah, Shitbag is fucking rich now.
Oh yeah.
But speaking of that it is the end of Shitbag's turn, and that is actually where we are now. So Shitbag just ended his turn, and it is now Rago's turn. You have two champions and a tiny weenie guy.
God damn it. Okay. I'm going to fly over in a diagonal fashion so that I actually come down to ground level, 40 feet.
Okay.
I'm in range with this dude over here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try and decapitate Weenie Willy and take his little Weenie Willy, the one-eyed wonder, off.
All right, go ahead. Make an attack roll.
You never fight the one-eyed snake.
That's a 16.
That hits.
Okay.
What is your bonus to your attack?
+7.
That's enough.
Yay! I didn't even need to roll. Can I roll just to see how much damage I would have done?
Sure.
Okay, so is the 1d12 +7 for the slashing damage, which would have been 9.
Yep.
You've got the 1d6 for the necrotic, which is 4, bringing it up to 13. He needs to make the constitution saving throw as well, just for the shits and giggles. Let's just see if
he failed.
Okay, so that is an extra 1d6 of bleed damage, which is 4, which would have totaled for 17 damage.
Yeah, that's enough. Stop hitting my tiny weenie guy, okay?
Let's just be clear, I am decapitating his weenie, the one-eyed wonder willy.
Sure, all right. So, describe to me how you kill tiny weenie man.
I dip the blades of my great axe down towards the ground, and in just one quick flourish, I swing them in an upward arc, catching them square between the legs, and just driving up and just basically split him in half.
You're going from the feet up? Monster.
No, crotch up.
Oh, crotch up. Okay, so you see as you're slicing up that he is just like screaming in utter agony at the fact that he's now going to have to die very slowly until you finally hit his brain, and then you just split him in half, and his two corpse halves just fall over onto each side. And that is your first attack.
I can't really do much because I don't have any movement left. And
you got no range?
No. I do. I have my breath weapon.
There you go.
You can use your breath weapon on the two champions.
I can only target one of them, though. It's not wide enough in order to hit both of them.
Okay. But Norbit and Pigeon avoid it completely because they're like hundreds of feet up. So
I'm going to target the top guy.
Okay.
What's the roll for that?
I've got to make a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah.
I failed. I got a 2.
Okay. That's 2. Where's the third one? There it is.
I'm changing dice.
That is 11 points of lightning damage.
He is dead.
He's dead.
So that one is dead because he took more damage than the other one, because one of them saved and the other one didn't.
I mean, that's my turn. I'm done.
That guy is dead. Norbit.
Glowing butter knife of glory.
All right. Make me an attack with advantage.
Am I using my scythe modifier, or?
I will let you use the spell modifier because of it having branding smite.
Oh, it's even higher with the spell modifier. Sweet.
Yeah.
It's a plus 7.
Yeah, roll with advantage.
Wait, he's like 200 feet up in the air, right?
Yeah, I'm hence, just dropping it down, basically. I'm just...
Yeah, hence why I'm giving him advantage, because the other guy doesn't know that he's technically
what
up
the
there.
Fuck?
You rolled the same thing twice.
What the fuck?
18 hits. So roll your roll 1d6, which will turn it into a 2d6, and then I will let you add your spell modifier to the damage. Basically, you're going to roll 2d6 plus 7.
What about the radium? The branding smite damage?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so 4d6 plus 7, correct?
Yes, 4d6 plus 7, yes.
Yeah, yeah, 24.
He is still alive, but barely.
Can we just say that the knife just, like, landed in his foot? Like,
yeah, boom. Yeah, like...
And then
like,
he just, like, looks down, and then I'll let you do his reaction, because I don't know how he'd react. Just the Wilhelm scream?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, so since I technically have two attacks, what attack will hit from two? Well, I could go down, I guess. But...
Yeah, you could fly down.
Let's see what else I can do before that. Tony, can you tell me the range of Eldritch Blast? Because I don't have the
120
range on
feet.
I will not be able to hit that. I'm 200 feet in the air.
Just move down.
Yeah, but I can only move 40 down.
No matter what he does, he cannot use Eldritch Blast.
Yeah, or Firebolt.
How high up are you right now?
200.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
What you
okay.
do when you get overprotective.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm trying to see if there is.
I did not think this completely through. I've seemed to have flown too high.
Yeah, it would seem so.
And run out of objects to drop and let gravity do all me work.
Actually, wait. I might have something else I can drop.
Okay.
Huh?
Tony, can I have an estimate on his health bar?
He just walked through the gate and is one step away from walking up the steps.
Oh.
One step away from walking. Okay.
Drop a platinum piece on him?
I still have a platinum spark, but I don't think Norbit's willing to drop a spark. That's the difficulty there. So I have two choices, Tony, right? And I'll ask you which one you think I should use. Mm-hmm. I have one of the bar tusks left. I have two bar tusks, but I'm not going to use two. I can either use a bar tusk, or I can go the funnier option and use the breastplate.
Can you drop my old armor on him?
Yeah, basically. I'd lose one
just,
AC.
He just starts disassembling his equipment.
I'd lose one AC in doing so, because I'd have to re-equip it afterwards, but it'd be funny to just watch him get crushed by your old armor.
Oh my god.
He can see you now, too, so you wouldn't have advantage anymore, right?
I'm not going to lie. No, yeah, well, okay, so that leads me to my thing, where if you drop the tusk, it would be disadvantage because of the two scenarios of the weight and because of the fact that
and
he
the
now
size.
Knows and the size and him noticing you. But if you drop the armor, it wouldn't be disadvantage. But I would make him roll a dexterity saving throw to dodge out of the way because
he probably will pass because he dodged a nuke.
So yeah. Which one are you more willing to do? The tusk at disadvantage or
will it
the dexterity
the
saving throw? Oh yeah,
probably.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Break the armor. I'll do the tusk then because I don't want to break it because it currently I'm sitting at a nice juicy 22 AC. So I'd rather not break that.
Roll with disadvantage, but use the modifier of your scythe.
All right, that's fine. You said disadvantage of 13.
Okay, 13 does not hit. So what you're going to see is when you drop it, it basically is exactly the way we were just describing, where the wind kind of just picks up and it blows it off course, and it just lands outside of the camp somewhere.
Got you. I'm going to, with the last bit of my what I can do, I'm just going to fly down 40 feet is my movement.
Yes, I believe
so. Yeah, because my dash is 80. Yeah, I'll fly down 40, so I'm not a juicy 160 feet high. And I'll look at Rhaegar. I'll see what he just did to that little wee man. And I will just, I'll do that motion, you know, where you like point two fingers to your eyes, point two back to him and go, shame. And then I'll end my turn.
I'm watching right. you.
I watched you sever that man. Shame.
That guy is still alive. How high up are you, Rhaegar?
I'm on ground level now.
You're on ground level? Okay, he's going to throw a spear at you.
Throw me a spear.
Does a 20 hit?
Yeah, it does.
It does hit? Okay, all right. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, 14 damage for the first spear.
Jesus.
You said he was throwing a spear, not multiple spears.
He has two ranged attacks. He can either make three melee attacks or two ranged attacks. So he's only going to do the one extra attack at range, and then he's going to keep his last spear to use just in case.
Unless he's got some of that big dick energy to slap you from that range.
That one will hit. That's a 17 plus 7 to hit, so...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's four, an additional 14 damage.
You saw the first one hit, and he's just like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit more confident. I'm going to try again, this time with maximum effort.
He throws in the same location. Rhaegar just steps to the side.
That was another 14 points of damage.
Another 14 points of damage.
Yay.
You still alive?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy, after seeing this dragonborn is still alive after two spear throws at him and knowing that there's a meteor coming from above, he's going to bolt.
How far can you get, though?
30.
You got that?
No, I've got to go there.
Oh, that's fine. Because we need to kill him, man.
What do you mean we need to kill him?
He has my knife in his
hand. Oh, for fuck's sake.
I want my knife back.
Well, then you better go and fly after him, then.
Maybe stop throwing all of your shit at other things.
He threw two spears at you. Do you not want vengeance?
See mayhem walking and then with the spear still lodged in his legs and just like flopping around with his legs.
I like to imagine that Rhaegar's having this conversation with Norbit by yelling at the top of his lungs, just looking 200 feet in the sky.
160.
He's like, I'm feeling fine. Why don't you just dive bomb and fucking get him yourself, bitch?
That, a matter of fact, that's exactly what I'm going to do, is like, after he finishes his turn, he's going to come back to see you screaming into the air. For those that do not remember what happened in the last two sessions...
I don't remember what happened in the last session.
So, Mouse got transported to what is known as the Feywild. He was there, he went into what is known as the Winter Court to find that the entire... castle that he transported to was overrun by shimmers that were kind of dormant, and in a sense he managed to get to a tower that was lit up to find that one of Mouse's, Rhaegar's, and Norbit's saviors by the name of Malachi was being tortured by Adam. Mouse saved Malachi's life after Adam left. Malachi and Mouse transported to the Summer Court, where Malachi stated that he has no idea like how long Mouse will be here because he doesn't know what his situation is, but he would be willing to take him through the town to let him get any supplies that he needs and go and talk to the king and queen of the Summer Court and try to figure out a way to send him back home. But currently you're in the Summer Court, Mouse, and you are in the Market District, and the castle for the king and queen of the Summer Court is not too far away.
Right.
So what do you do? The way the Feywild works is that time passes differently here than it does in the material plane. Time passes faster here and slower in the material plane. So that's the reason I'm giving you leeway to go and do whatever you want on this turn, and you're going to disappear after the conversation that you have with the king and queen.
Say, Tony, can the listeners at home gain any benefits from the podcast if they decide to go and buy anything from XP Coffee?
You can get 5% off with the discount Dirty20 at checkout, and you will be able to do that. You can also do the same thing with the Wraith Energy Drink. You can use Dirty20 and get 10% off of the Wraith Energy Supplements. So if you want to get a nice little discount on that stuff, you can.
So in other words, if you hate mornings and don't like to wake up like me, get one of them.
Right?
All right. I guess kind of, not really, like, I'm just going to use the word antiquities. Like, is there a place that sells rare magic items?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to go there.
Okay, so you go there. It is...
I guess like a spell shop or something. Maybe like, I don't...
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to explain because the Feywild is more magical than the material plane. So when you go into a magic shop, think of it kind of like you're walking into like a very chaotic Harry Potter shop, like in Gringotts or whatever. So you walk in there and there's like books flying everywhere. There's like different types of potions, different types of scrolls. It's absolute chaos. Like, it's just crazy when you walk in here. There's several people in this store. Some of them are reading books. Some of them are looking through the potions. Some of them are kind of just running around, goofing off like little kids, just playing with the fancy magical toys that are flying around and stuff.
Sweet.
But you do see at what looks to be like an oval desk, there is what looks to be like an Eladrin woman sitting behind the desk with some glasses on, and she looks to be like she's reading a book. You can imagine that a Ladrin is kind of like another version of an elf, except that they, whereas elves are more like humanoid in a sense, where they have like human colors. In this sense, they're more colorful in the fact of that they have more brighter colors. Like, they have green skin, orange skin, blue skin. They have a variety of different colors depending on the area that you are located at. This being the summer court, you're going to see a lot of yellows, oranges, reds, very bright colors that represent like summer. And she is more leaning towards of the kind of in the middle between of like an orange and a yellow, if that makes sense. Like, she's not super bright colored skin, but it gives you the notion that when you walk up to her, it does startle you for a second to see someone as brightly skinned as her. But then you're just like, you go back to your normal self.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, you see her sitting behind this counter.
I recognize the book.
Roll me a perception check.
The Dirty 20.
She is reading a book of incantations. You can assume by the book that she's reading that she is a wizard.
Ah, what is an incantation again?
Incantations are like spells that you could see in like a wizard's book. So it'd be like just wizards have this thing to where they keep a spell book on them at all times.
All right, so she's reading a book on these.
Yeah, so she's reading a book on this, yes.
So I go up to her and I gesture to her. I go, it's like, find anything interesting?
She looks up and she's making that face that, you know, like librarians do when they look up from their glasses to see over top of their spectacles, but it's like hanging on the bridge of their nose. And she just looks up and sees you and goes, huh, you're not from around here. That's rare.
You got anything else as rare?
Several things, depending on what you're looking for.
Tony, where do the souls go of the dead when they die?
Depends on the actions. Not this world. The material plane?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's kind of like the normal world where it depends on the actions that you committed while you were alive. So if you did good, you go to like your form of heaven, depending on if you worship any gods. If you did bad, you typically go to hell normally. But there's also some homebrew shit that you guys have not got into yet that relates to that very topic. And that part I will not answer for you. But typically you can get the gist that good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell.
What about medium people?
I'm small, so we don't really care about the mediums. Okay, I'm going to whisper this to her.
Okay.
What if I wanted to talk to someone that's long gone? Someone who's not alive. If I had questions that needed answering.
I could do that.
What do you mean you could do that? I'm looking for something that lets me do that.
So you just want an item that will allow you to do that whenever?
Yes, not really whenever. Maybe a one-time use. You know, it seems a bit, I don't know. Seems a bit far-fetched. It's just a thought, you know. If you don't have it, that's fine. Else?
Hold on a second. You see her get up, and she moves in such a way that to the naked eye, it's almost like she's not moving at all, if that makes sense. Like, it's almost like she's gliding, but she's not moving anything else.
It's okay. Take your time, you know. Don't no rush.
But she's actually going really fast. So she actually gets there pretty quick. But to your eye, your perception, it's almost like she's just, like, teleporting there, almost. You see that happen. You wait a moment. She comes back, and she has in her hand what looks to be like, it's almost like a witch's orb where they go and do like a scry kind of thing. Crystal ball. So it's almost like a crystal ball, but the ball itself is not crystal at all. In fact, the ball itself looks to be like it's made out of almost like a ruby.
Oh, shit.
And the pedestal that it's sitting on has arcane runes that have these various symbols that you're not familiar with.
Okay.
She places it on the counter in front of you and say, is this what you're looking for?
I don't know. Just let me talk to the dead.
Roll an arcana check.
Ah. That will be a probably bad roll. That's okay. I have faith in my rolls. I would like to use a luck point.
Yes, sir. Wait,
can I use a luck point on that?
You have one left.
Two critical.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So this item does exactly what you want it to do, but it does it in a very, 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 very specific way. And if you derail from that way, bad shit will fucking happen.
What do you mean derail from that way? What do you mean by that? You gotta give me more.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So in order to commune with the spirit in question, you have to have a piece of them that was part of their belongings that was very special to them.
Ah.
If you don't do that, and you try to summon the same person, one of two things will happen.
So this is going to be like a Ouija board type shit.
It's basically in a Ouija board. So you either, one, will summon them in a very deformed way to where that they will come out as a demon.
Oh, well, that will be good.
Or two, you will summon one of the nine lords of hell.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun and all. Oh, yeah. Ooh. My chaoticness is tingling.
But she looks at you and says, now, because of the rarity of this item, this is not something that I normally just sell to any one person.
Of course.
So let's make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she says that, Malachi is in the room with you. Malachi, you can feel his hand grasp your shoulder, and he looks down at you eye to eye with the most serious face that he can muster, and he's quite literally shaking his head like, don't do that. Don't do that at all.
Mm. but don't get the item or don't make a deal.
No, don't make a deal. Like you can cut, like when she said that, he's grasping you and is okay. He's like, do not do that at all. What she just said. Don't make a
deal. Gotcha. Tony, can I hear the deal first?
You can. Sweet. Absolutely.
Let me hear what she has to offer.
So you turn back around, you look at the woman, and you ask her exactly what the deal is. And she goes, so I'm looking for a very specific item in the Feywild. This item is an item that kind of does the same thing this does, but it brings them back permanently. You go get me this item and you bring it back to me as a replacement, and you can have this one and keep it.
Okay. Question?
Yes.
Okay. Bring them back permanently. How exactly? Is this necromancy? I don't like necromancy.
It is indeed a form of necromancy.
Ugh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
But that is on me. That's something that I personally wish to do on my own accord.
I'm not from here, so what you do in your own world is your focus. I look at Malachi, and I was like, let me discuss some things with my friend here.
She nods to you and says, that's perfectly fine. You turn to Malachi, and Malachi's like, look, I know you're not from here.
Yes.
But there's something you've got to realize.
Mm-hmm.
Making a deal in the Feywild is not as simple as just shaking a person's hand.
Exactly. Okay, keep going. I'm rummaging through my belongings as you're saying that. I'm listening.
If you make a deal and you don't hold up your end of the bargain in the way that they want you to hold the deal up, they can quite literally trap your soul and control you for eternity. Cool. But the same works for them. If they don't hold up their end of the bargain, then the same applies to them as well. It's like you're binding your souls together.
Right.
And you don't want that.
Of course. But I need this item. So what do you suggest?
He looks up to her and says, is there anything that I can get you other than the deal that would satisfy you?
Oh, you like, okay, so that's the plan. Get her something else. Okay, cool. Tony, yeah. The black ethereal crystal in my pouch. How important is that?
Which one?
The black one. The one I haven't used yet.
You want to give her the black one?
I want to have her appraise it first.
Okay. So you hand her the black ethereal crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She looks at it and says, I don't know where you got this from. I'm not going to ask. It's none of my business.
Hey, I get everything fair. I don't steal. Or at least I don't get caught stealing. Sometimes.
Again, it's none of my business. But this is not an ordinary magic item. This is, quite frankly, I'm not even strong enough to cast this level of magic.
Right, okay, and that's what, I don't know what kind of magic is this exactly?
This is a crystal it holds the spell power word kill.
Okay, I grab it back from her. It's like, let's just tuck this away deep inside my bag now, and I just shove it back down in there. I'll go on top under everything. Okay, yeah. Like, just like put that bomb away. Okay, you never saw that.
I'll tell you what though. And she looks to Malachi and you, and says, if he doesn't want to strike the deal, I'll take that crystal as payment, and you can have this. They're of equal value. I can assure you that the appraisal is the same, and I can give you an item to cast Zone of Truth if you want to make sure of that. But those two items are of equal value, and I will trade you that crystal for this.
The thing is, though, as long as I have it, I don't get used.
I mean, that's on you. I'm just, I was asked a question by your friend here as to something that would be of equal value. That crystal is it. So either you can take the deal and go and find the item in the Feywild, or we can just have a very simple trade. No questions asked. No discussing it with anybody else. I take the crystal. You get this item. We walk away. Deal's done.
Let me discuss some things more with my friend here. Come here, guys.
She says, yeah, that's fine. He turns around. Malachi looks down at you and says,
I'm getting a really bad feeling if I give her these crystals.
I mean, that's how the Feywild works, man. Like, it's the way that people work here. It's either you strike deals or you have a lot of money to just blow, which I don't know about you, but I don't have enough money to buy half of the shit that's in this building.
How much is the ball?
Money-wise?
I'm yelling back here, yeah.
Yeah, so she looks at you and says, oh, give or take, I'm assuming you're using regular gold pieces, being not from around here. So if we're going on the equivalent of gold pieces, I'm going to say about 50 to 100,000 gold pieces.
Interesting. Yeah, I definitely don't have that money. I'm talking to Malachi now. Let's see. You say don't make a deal with her. Why? Do you don't think I can complete this task? Or
No, it's not that. It's the fact that deals in the Feywild aren't, again, they're not simplistic. So if you make a deal with somebody and you shake their hand on that deal, you both would need to have to word the deal very specifically, because if you derail from that in any way on either party's end, your soul is lost.
Right.
So it's not as simple as like saying, oh, I'm going to do this task for you, like in the material plane where you're doing like a quest for somebody. It's not as black and white as that. This is more of a gray area.
Right.
And I don't know personally how long you're going to be here in the Feywild.
Right.
But if you don't come back, if like suddenly you just poof out of existence for whatever reason and you don't come back to the Feywild.
Why do you say it like that?
I don't know. I mean, crazy shit happens here all the time. Like, I've seen some really weird shit in the Feywild.
Okay. I got you.
So if it just so happens that something like that happens to you and you're not able to complete your end of the bargain, you're done.
So this item that you're wanting me to go get, or you're hoping I would go get, or whatever, where exactly am I going if I take the deal to get this item?
She says the Winter Court.
The Winter Court. Oh, fucking hell. Not that place again. Question. Exactly where is this item?
She giggles a little bit and says, honey, if I knew that, I would have already had the item in my possession.
So you want me to search the whole Winter Court to look for one item?
Again, it's just a deal.
Right.
I'm very happy to take that crystal off your hands if you don't want to strike that deal, but if you don't want to part with the crystal...
How long are you... What kind of a time frame are we talking about? Because if you don't know where it's at, and I'm going on a goose chase, if I'm going looking for something that you don't know where it's at, and I don't know where it's at, and
She thinks about it for a second, and she says, I'll give you a month.
A month. Interesting. See, the thing is, you know I'm not from here. And my friend here has made a good point that time runs, like, things happen all over the place, and time apparently runs differently here. So where I'm from, we're faster. I look at Malachi when I say that. Am I right? Am I thinking about that right?
He nods his head. Yeah, he's like, no, you're not lying.
Nah, see?
That's my offer. I'm giving you a month to find this item.
Of course.
In the winter court.
Uh-huh.
Or you can trade the crystal. And that's it. If you trade the crystal, no questions asked. No ulterior motive, nothing like that. Just that crystal for this one.
Right. All right. Because it is very important, more important, and I pull out the crystal, than this ugly ass, yet slightly beautiful, but still ugly ass crystal, I will trade it. And I place it on the counter.
She slides the sphere towards you, and she says, I appreciate the deal. You actually, the moment those words come out of her mouth, you feel yourself as if, like, you have been, like, your very essence, your soul has been relieved. It's almost like you can now relax for the first time in what feels like an eternity. When deals are struck in the Feywild and both parties are satisfied with the results, this is what happens. You feel like that you just completed your task and you're good.
Right. So you seem like a nice person. I slide the orb into my pouch.
There was a time where I was a much better person.
Wait, you are not a good person now? I was thinking you were a good person now. Gosh, you must have been a saint before.
Well, technically, yes. I used to be a cleric.
Yeah, I can see why you changed. Clerics are boring.
She laughs and she says, yes, they are.
Okay, so I need to get some potions. You carry potions here?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you can spend gold on those. Those are just your standard prices. So no deals have to be made with this. But she gestures over to the far left wall and she says that entire wall is nothing but potions. They're categorized by the rarity of potions. Starting from the left, you have your more common potions. Until you get all the way to the right and you get to your more expensive, legendary bullshit potions that nobody can afford, but just sit on my counter and collect dust.
I like dusty bullshit potions. Let me take a look at your dusty bullshit potions. Actually, I think I'm just going to look at the more expensive and then just start downgrading until I feel satisfied.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Okay, we're going to go to... I'm going to pull up my list of potions.
Oh god, he's got a list.
I have a full fucking list. We're going to start with legendary, and...
Let me hear something fun.
You want something fun.
Something that might catch my eye, that you think it would catch my eye, that you can just be like, oh, this is what this does, and I'd be like, the fuck?
Okay.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no.
I found a fun one. I found a really fun one.
A fun one. We always like the fun ones.
I will say that I will be surprised if Rhaegar specifically does not react vocally when I give you this potion.
Oh, no. Here we go. Challenge accepted, DM.
Okay. All right. So, because this is more based on because of how tall you are, this is kind of like the first potion you see on the bottom shelf looking up.
God, bringing my height into this.
Well, yeah, I have to go based off of your passive perception. So this is just more fitting with those lines.
Yeah.
But this is what you see first. You see a legendary potion. The bottle itself looks to be made out of the same obsidian, but it's carved into a dragon's body, and the lid is the dragon's head. On the front of the dragon, you see a simple label that is engraved in the obsidian with blood as the ink, simply says dragon blood.
Cool. I grabbed the bottle, right? And I'm looking at it and go, this would make a really cool bong.
Do you say that to Malachi or the wizard?
Yeah, I said it out loud, just looking at the bottle.
Okay. Roll me an Arcana check, and depending on how well you roll, will determine if you get the full effects or not.
I highly doubt I'll get the same freaking roll. 16.
That's actually not bad. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I will let you know basically what this potion does. Okay?
Uh-huh.
It has four effects.
Uh-huh.
And you get all four of them the moment you drink it. Okay?
Gross.
This vial contains the magically imbued blood of an ancient dragon. Those who are powerful enough to withstand its effects are granted the powers of a dragon. When you drink this potion, you must make a strength saving throw. You suffer D10 of damage to the dragon's element. So depending on the color of the liquid that's in the vial, you will suffer a certain amount of damage when you drink it. However, mm-hmm. as determined by the DM, equal to the difference between your roll and a 20 minus 10. This damage ignores any damage reduction or effects that the user may have in place. So basically, like Rhaegar, for example, it ignores his rage effects. If the user dies when consuming this, their soul is consumed into the element of the blood, and there is zero chance of resurrection. Cannot be revived at all. However, if you survive, you are blessed with the following four dragon effects. Effect 1, Dragon Blood. You gain the effects of Sorcerer's Draconic Bloodline if you do not already have them. Your highest class level will be used to determine what level you are in the Draconic Bloodline. So in this case, you are level 7, so you will gain level 7 Draconic Bloodline effects. And we will determine that if you were to survive this drink. Effect 2, Dragonkin. Dragons will recognize you as one of their own. Most dragons are non-hostile towards you by default, but this is not universally true if they are chromatic. So in this case, if you drink it, all dragons will recognize you as one of their own and will not attack you or your party members, because they will recognize you as being family. So they will not attack anybody that is associated with you. Effect number 3, Dragon's Fury. You gain the Barbarian's Rage ability once per long rest. If you have Barbarian Rage already, you gain 2 additional Barbarian Rages automatically. While you are raging, your Draconic power surges forth, creating a Blood Rage. Blood raging lasts for 1 minute longer than a barbarian's rage, so your rage lasts for 2 minutes instead of 1 minute. While blood raging, your skin grows scales, increasing your AC by 2. You gain the Dragonborn's breath weapon, appropriate to the color of the dragon's blood and type that you drank. If you have a draconic wings, you gain a flying speed equal to double your walking speed. Your sense of smell and sight also increase by 50 feet. While blood raging, you count as a dragon and your normal type for the purpose of the spell's effect and the targeting of dragons. Last ability, Arcane Blood Rage. You count as a sorcerer of your highest class level for the purposes of spellcasting, including cantrips, sorcery points, and meta magic. So in this case, you automatically will become a third class as a sorcerer, but you will not go up in level in the sense of like you would go from level 7 to 14 instantly. It's more of like you can swap between the two when you go into a rage. So if you wanted to use sorcerer abilities when you go into a rage, you can, instead being a fighter rogue, you can become a sorcerer at the current level that you were at. You do not gain any other sorcerer effects past the level cap that you're currently at. So if you are at level 7 and you drink this, anything past level 7, you will not gain the sorcerer effects for.
Right.
If you are a sorcerer already, you gain 1 additional spell slot for each level that you increase beyond the level that you are currently at. You may also use slots and spells granted by the effect while blood raging, and casting these spells is permitted while blood raging. So you can cast spells while in a rage. A barbarian does not have that effect. They cannot cast spells at all when they rage. If you are not in blood rage, You will not be able to cast these spells unless you are a sorcerer. Your casting ability for these spells only can be either your charisma or your constitution. The blood increases your lifespan to that of a dragon's. These effects can be passed on to your offspring. So your age becomes the age of a dragon. Like, you can live that long. Of an ancient dragon. And that's what the potion does.
Right. Let's put the pay-to-win item back on the shelf.
Okay. Sure.
Wait, how much is it?
Roll me a persuasion check.
Fucking persuasion. Oh my God.
How did you like that, Rhaegar?
A critical! Oh my God.
She looks at the potion. She thinks about it for a minute. And she's like, you know what? I like you. Something special about you.
Yeah, everybody does, man. Yeah, everyone thinks so.
There's something really special about you. I can't quite pinpoint it, but there's something special about you.
It's a strange aroma of tacos in the air whenever you're there.
Strange aromas?
Strange aroma of tacos in the air whenever you're there.
She looks back at it, and she thinks about it for a little bit longer, and she says, you know, these potions have been sitting in this little cubby that you see here for several hundred years.
Right.
Nobody's going to buy these, and I kind of knew that when I opened the shop up. So I'll tell you what. You give me 3,000 gold pieces, and you can have that bottle, and you can pick 6 regular healing potions.
Oh, really? I'm going to look at it and go, tempted? Like, no joke. Cool bottle, too. Like, the detail? Cool.
I killed an ancient dragon to get that vial, so it's quite a story. It's quite an adventure. But
Mouse carefully puts it back on the shelf, knowing that he's talking to someone who killed an ancient dragon. Okay, so let's not break anything.
Would you like to keep looking?
Yes. Next item.
Okay.
Guess I'll climb the shelf.
Sure.
And we'll do one more look. And then I'll just get regular potions. So just pick something and let's hear what it is.
Do you still want something fun or do you want something
practical?
Less fun?
Let's go practical. Because that fun was just kind of like over the top right there.
Okay.
While I'm doing that, can I look at Malachi and be like, or just kind of gesture to him, talk to him and say, is there a way to come back here? Because I don't think I'm going to be able to find look at everything today.
I mean, again, Malachi looks at you and says, I don't know your situation. I don't even know how you got here. So for me to answer that.
How did you get here?
My Patreon plane shifted us here when that whole shit went down at the castle.
Really? Oh, that's cool. I wonder if my mother and father could do something like that.
I mean, they're gods, so yeah, they could very easily do that.
I'm not going to speculate, though. I'll ask him. Come back to this place again. It's just, I like this place.
Okay. This one is more practical. Okay?
Okay.
This one is quite literally called 42.
42?
42. This potion cures all poisons, diseases, and curses. Cures all of them. I want you to think about that for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Cures all poisons, all curses, and all diseases.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
No, being warforged is not a disease.
No, it's not. think about your appearance.
I like my horns.
He likes his horns.
I thought he said he was getting rid of them.
No, I wanted to get rid of being tall. I like being short. We got rid of the tallness, though.
You already got rid of being tall, right?
Yeah. So he has like tiefling horns as a mouse folk, but he's back to his normal size because he got rid of that. But this is a very special legendary potion that can cure any ailment, any disease, any curse, anything.
And DM.
Yes.
Would you class death as an ailment?
No, not, no. It specifically says that's the only thing that it cannot be cured from. It does say that. Yeah, it has to be something that when the person drinks it, they have to be still breathing, still alive, yeah.
How would it work on Pigeon?
I don't think it would it?
No,
because I mean, technically he's half of me, but yet he's stuck in a different body. It wouldn't be classed as an element?
So, I'm going to answer that now. If Pigeon or Norbit were to drink this, they would revert back to their normal form, their original form. So he would become a drow elf again.
Yeah, but how would that work on Pigeon?
Pigeon would no longer exist.
Huh.
So it's just a way to get Pigeon to just to be gone.
Yeah, so you would still be an artificer, and you could still summon a familiar like an artificer would.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be Pigeon anymore. He would be just a machine that you can control and do whatever with. He would just be an automaton.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
But that's something that you guys would have to discuss on your end. If Norbit wants to go back to being a drow elf.
No.
I don't think he does.
I was just curious.
So we'll put that back on the shelf and be like, I'll have to come back another time when I have, because I don't know how long I'm here for. I have to get back to my friends. I also have to think about that. I know time runs differently here, but I also need to think about my friends.
She goes, I perfectly understand. Again, these potions on this specific rack have been here for hundreds of years. They're not going to go anywhere. So they'll be here when you get back.
How much are your regular potions? Health potions?
Are you just wanting just basic health potions? Are you wanting greater, superior?
Let's do greater.
You want greater potions? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Greater healing potions are 100 gold pieces each.
Yeah, the greater. I'll do the greater.
How many?
I'm just going to get two, but I'm just going to give her 2 platinum. Make it easy for me.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, she gives you 2 greater healing potions. Is that it?
And then give me 3 regular. How much are each of the regulars?
Regular healing potions are 50 gold pieces each.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Okay. All right. You do that. So you have 3 healing and 2 greater healing.
Sweet. C3. Because I was out of potions completely.
Yeah. All right. So Malachi looks at you and says, hey, if you're done here, let's kind of head towards the castle so we can go and see the lords right quick and see what they want us to do. Hopefully they can fix our situation.
Before we leave, I have one more question for her. Right before we rather as soon as we're about to walk out.
Sure.
Any idea what I could do with a hydra heart?
A what now?
A hydra. I have a heart of a hydra.
You have a heart of a hydra?
Well, not on me, but I do. I do own one. Have.
Well, that depends on what you're wanting to do with it, because typically speaking, I use a heart of a hydra to teleport to different planes.
Good to know. Thank you. You have a great day. I'll see you again.
And she waves it. She goes, okay, bye. So you leave with Malachi. Malachi takes you to the castle keep. Where it's beautiful here. Like the further up the city you go towards the castle, the more life you start to see, if that makes sense. You start to see more flowers blooming, more trees. It gets really, really, really pretty here.
Mm-hmm.
But you get up to the castle and you walk through the castle keep. You see the guards standing there. They're all a ladrin, different shades of colors, different sizes, different builds, all that stuff.
Right.
Takes you down a couple of corridors. You finally get to the main castle room where the thrones are at. At the end of the hallway, you see 2 thrones. One is where the queen is sitting, and she is actually sitting on the highest throne. She is sitting on the highest pedestal. The king is sitting at the one below her. So it's kind of like she's sitting at the very top, and then he's sitting right in front of her, like on a stairway, basically.
So in Mouse's head, he's thinking, So she wears the pants.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in the Feywild, in the Feywild, queens hold higher authority than kings do.
Mm.
So the queens in the Feywild are the superior being. They're the ones that control everything. And it's for a very good reason, because what I'm about to describe to you. As you get closer, you see on the queen's head, you see what looks to be like a crown of thorns. But it's not just any crown of thorns. The crown itself looks like that it has quite literally embedded into her skull. It's forming a crown that is digging itself deeper and deeper into her skull. And it's coming out in these intricate designs to represent the summer court. So you see like different rose blooms, different types of flowers that are surrounding the thorns. But you can tell that even though this is a representation of her power, her stature, if that makes sense, this crown is also a curse. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that if you were to try to put this crown on, some very powerful shit would happen instantaneously, and there's no way of getting out of it. Once you put this crown on your head, that's a done deal. You're stuck. You have to abide by the laws of what this crown tells you to do, basically.
Gotcha. As we're approaching, I look at Malachi. It's like, is there anything I need to know? Do I kneel? Do I bow?
He says that there is a bow that we have to do, but they will notice that you're from the Feywild. So just kind of follow my lead a little bit. It doesn't have to be perfect.
You mean material, right?
Material plane, yes. But he says just follow my lead. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just do the best that you can. These two people here, they're very kind people. They're very understanding.
Good. I was about to ask. I'm starting to get all glammy.
I will say this is just a word of warning. They're also very erotic. You'll see when we get closer. You make your way towards the two of them. The queen is the one who stands up first. And she stands up and she does a gesture that you're not familiar with. She takes her left hand and makes what you can presume as the okay sign. And she turns it and bows towards you with the okay sign at her chest. And then she raises herself back up and then gestures by taking that same hand and raising it up into the sky as if to form a open palm. Malachi repeats that same process, but instead of his left hand, he uses his right hand. And instead of raising his hand, he puts his hand as if to put it over his heart.
Oh, I do the same.
You do the exact same? Roll me a performance check.
Oh, no. Don't you like to see a trick? Oh, man. You're giving me all my plus ones, man. Wait, another crit?
You crit three times tonight.
Yep. Insane.
Oh my god. The queen herself does something that Malachi does not expect. She walks down the stairs. The king gestures and stands up with her and holds her hand firmly. They both walk down to you. They do that thing, or she does that thing where she lifts your head up to look at her, but very gently. She then rubs with her hand on the side of your face in a gentle manner to show a form of compassion.
Oh, that's nice.
She looks down at you and says, I've been on this plane for thousands of years. I have not once ever heard nor seen your kind before, so I am assuming you are from the material plane or some other plane, but you are not going to lie. You are very intriguing, and you have piqued my interest, and that doesn't happen very often. What is your name, friend?
My name is Mateo Ortiz Ulises Santos Enriquez, but they call me Mouse.
I want to stick with Mouse because that is a mouthful. She looks to the king and she says, "What do you think?" He looks down at you and you can see more of him now that he is a very broad Eladrin. He is very muscular in the sense of that you can tell that this king has seen a lot of battle. Like, it's almost as if that you can just instinctively know that he was born and bred into battle. He looks down at you and says, "I'm also intrigued as well. He seems to come from good stock. And oddly enough, I sense something else on him. Something, it's a sense I'm not familiar with. Are you a paladin by chance? Just out of curiosity."
"No."
Do you worship a god of some kind?"
"Oh yes, mother and father are very kind to me."
That's what I sense. So it's very strange to have this sensation again because gods have not been on this plane. What? How long has it been, honey? Like 10,000 years or so?" She looks to him and says, "Yeah, the gods have quite literally abandoned us. Even the Patreons that used to live here have all been left and gone. The only magic users here left in the Feywild is wizards and sorcerers, because the paladins have all dismantled. They have gone off and done their own things. The warlocks don't exist here anymore. It's quite sad, if I do say so myself, but it's rather odd to have this sensation again of knowing that the gods are still there. They're just somewhere else and protecting beautiful souls like this one. And your soul is pure. I like the aura that you give off. You give off something that I have not sensed in a very long time. It's quite pleasing, if I do say so myself. But enough of that. How can we help you? Is there something that you need from us? Because I'm quite fond of you being here, but I'm assuming that Malachi here has brought you in here for a reason, and I'm quite curious as to what's going on." You see Malachi hold up his hand for a second and says, "Before you get into it, Mouse, and I understand you have a lot that you want to discuss, I do have one very urgent matter that me and you both saw that we need to bring up, and once I get that out of the way, then whatever you want, it's yours. You tell them what you need, and I'm sure that they can help in any way that they can. But my lord and lady, the Winter Court has been taken over. It has been sieged by an enemy that is not known to anyone here, but is a very common enemy. You see the queen gasp and start to tear up, and she says, "What of my sister?" Malachi looks and says, "My lady, I'm sorry. She's dead. I saw it with my own eyes. The being known as, he calls himself Adam now, but originally his name was Amon. He killed her. And at the very mention of Amon, you see the king take a step back, and he looks at the queen and says, "It can't be. There's no way. I killed him with my own bare hands. Thousands of years ago, I watched that demon die. There's no way that he can be back." You see, the queen looks to the two of you and says, do you know the truth of who Aemon actually is? Malachi looks and says, as far as we know on the material plane, Aemon is the one who started the war 500 years ago on the material plane, where our now problematic gods, known as Zalanthea and his crew, they are they're causing problems on the material plane and are now wanting to seize control of the Feywild and probably other planes. She stops him there for a second and said, "Aemon is not his original name. The name that he went by before my husband killed him in the Nine Hells was Asmodeus." You see Malachi stop. He's speechless. He can't physically utter the words that he wants to say. Mouse, do you want to say anything at this time?
I'll look at her and go, at both of them. You are right. I am not from around here, and I have no idea how long I'm going to be here. I just happened to appear in Winter Court, right? That's the place I was at, right? I'm whispering to Malachi.
Malachi says, yes, yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, Mouse, but the name Asmodeus alone just it's pretty bad. So I was stunned there for a second. It doesn't surprise me now that I think about it, but yeah. So our new friend Mouse here somehow made it to the Feywild and made his way to the Winter Court and was able to rescue me out of being tortured by Asmodeus.
He didn't seem like an upstanding guy. I mean, it's bad hospitality.
Malachi looks at you and says, "Do you even know who Asmodeus is? Like, has Father not told you who that is?"
Has Father told me who that is, Tony?
Roll a religion check.
Let's see. Plus one.
I swear to God, if you fucking crit again. Okay.
What's so weird though is it pretty close? I mean, I had a 15.
It's close, but like
getting there.
Whew. Okay. All right. So with a 15, you do actually know who Asmodeus is. And for those that are listening, if you are D&D lore nerds like myself, you will know exactly who I'm talking about. Bahamut specifically has told you who Asmodeus was. It's one of those stories that he would have told you as kind of like to keep you in line. You know, like those scary stories you tell kids to like say, "Oh, the boogeyman's going to get you if you don't behave." It's kind of like one of those stories.
Uh-huh.
But essentially, yes, he has told you who of Asmodeus is.
Right.
But Malachi looks and says, "Yes, yeah, so I don't know how he got here. I don't know what his situation is. I don't know. I know of his two gods. I know his situation. He's one of the ones that is currently taking care of the problem of Zalanthea and the new gods, essentially. And with that, my lord and lady, it seems like that we don't have any other choice. I think we need to start gaining some allies. If we don't, I'm afraid that the Feywild is going to be taken over."
Can Mouse chime in?
Yeah.
Mouse looks at him and is like, me and my friends were trying to fight back. In fact, that's what I was before I was. Before I just appeared in a very dark and cold corner of whatever the fuck where was that?
She does that, like, laugh that, like, somebody of authority would do. Somebody who has a high status of power. But you can also tell just very slightly that the laugh is also a laugh of, like, that she has a different side to her, if that makes sense.
Right, split personality.
Yeah, it's almost like a split personality, yeah. But she looks at you and says, yeah, so I'm assuming you've never been to the Feywild before, but if our friend Malachi here hasn't already told you, seasons and time doesn't work here the same way it does in the material plane. So where you were, being the Winter Court, it's always cold. It's always dark. It's dead. It's quite literally, it was born in darkness and it will remain there. Unless we combine the crowns together into one unified crown and have a supreme ruler. But I'm personally against that. I like to have the different courts in the sense that we all have our different opinions. We all have our different philosophies, and it keeps things balanced. And it's been that way for ever since I was deemed queen thousands of years ago. So I do agree, Malachi, that with the death of my sister, if they indeed have the crown, we need to bolster some allies, but I don't know where we're going to get that. I don't. I'm at a loss here.
We can help from where I'm from. My people. We're trying to fight back. We're being hunted by these people.
Roll your persuasion check with advantage.
1
I'm done. I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done.
Oh yeah, baby.
This is Mouse's night.
This is a good night.
Oh shit.
She looks to you and says, I trust you. I really do. I believe every word you're saying to me, but do you have that kind of power? Do you have an army like that to aid us if needed?
I have a family, a really big family, and we look out for each other.
She looks at you and says, may I? And she holds her hand out to you.
Okay.
Do you touch her hand?
Yes.
You see the crown start to move and her eyes glow with a reddish hue. But it's not in the sense of you feel evil. Actually, you feel the opposite. You feel compassion. You feel love. You feel like a fiery burning sensation within the pit of your soul. It's almost like every good emotion you could possibly feel, you feel it all in one fell swoop. You can see through her eyes and she can see through yours. She goes through your memory and she's looking for something. You instantly know what she's looking for and you show her the way. You hold her hand and you guide her on the path within your memory of what you want her to see. You get there. And I have been waiting for this. Four Nat 20s deserves a moment like this. There's no other way that I can ignore this and not describe what you guys see. You and the queen get to it's a spot you know very well. It's at the base of the top of a mountain overlooking the mother tree. And what you see is the following. The queen looks down and sees a city that never sleeps. Some might not call it a city at all. It's a matter of perspective. Indeed, if you were given an instant to stand over the city, you would hardly find any qualities associated with any cities of old. If you were granted such an instance, you would be standing on a field overlooking the grandest tree of all. stretching to an unknown horizon and back as far as the eye can see. And yet, you could see that the city has lights floating thousands of feet above you, made up by thousands of the tiniest crystals. But if you were granted more than an instant, you would look up to find that there is a crystal more grand than all the rest. One given the powers of light and darkness. An expanse of light, blinding at first, yet hardly brighter than the rising of an early sun. If you were to stay long enough, you could also depict that this large floating crystal would dim its own light to give the effects of what you could only think of as the clearest night sky. Depending on your attire, you might even feel a slight breeze coming from this grand tree at the very heart of this magical place. In all honesty, the more you look out into this magical land in which Mouse himself calls home, the more you feel as if all the worry in the world has suddenly floated away into a calming breeze. It's also here that at the very heart of the tree is what looks to you as the clearest waters that anyone has ever seen. Water that flows like a river of old, never knowing the destruction and chaos that man has set in motion to his own world. It is a city of the mind and body. Inside the smooth metallic walls are districts. Inside each district is innumerable beings of various animal folk, communicating in a network of incomprehensible complexity. Beings who are loved and love back. Beings who fight and who have fought. They have formed communities and societies and governments, or leave to explore the endless wilderness that we call Fedora. It is here that Mouse looks, with the queen herself standing at the forefront, looks to the queen and says, "Welcome to my home. Welcome to Kager Magna." So, you both see that image, and you revert back to the Feywild. You're standing in the exact spot that you left. She smiles at you, and not in the smile of that of authority. She smiles in a way that almost like a very close sibling would make, someone who has deep love and affection and compassion and wants to see you succeed in every aspect of your life. She relays that in a simple smile to you. She looks back to the king and says, "We can trust him. He's very special." And it seems that your allies are also very special. I caught a brief glimpse of them during the memory lapse. Your friends Rhaegar, Norbit. I'm very confused about the Chihuahua and the fact that his name is Shitbag, but I'm not going to question it. I'm certain there's a really long story for that one. But and then how unoriginal is the robot pigeon thing in him being named Pigeon? Like, I don't understand that logic. It's something I can't
Delpho.
I can't grasp that knowledge, but from what I have seen of you, Sir Mouse, Mateo, you are somebody that I can put my absolute faith and trust into and never have to worry. So I'm going to strike you a deal. And this time, Malachi looks to you and he nods. She looks to you and says, "You have shown me a great many things, things of which that I will never, ever forget in the many years I have left to come. If you help me with my situation when the time arises, I will owe you a favor. And that favor can be in the form of anything that I am physically capable of giving. And she holds out her hand. What do you do?
I take her hand. I agree.
You watch as this arcane aura surrounds the two of your hands together and forms into a chain. The chain doesn't feel as if it's harming you or doing anything negative towards you, but you can also feel that what you just did is a contract binding worthy of your very soul. It's something that you cannot take lightly at all. This is something that you cannot avoid. And if you try to back out of this agreement, which I don't think you will, but if at some point you try to back out, Mouse will be done. Eternally. There will be no coming back. As the arcane chain removes itself from her hand, she steps back. She does the bow to you again. And as she lifts her head, you're gone. You revert back to the exact spot that you had left. And you revert back to hearing Rhaegar go, "What the fuck was that? What are you dropping shit for?"
Oh! Do I see him running off?
You see the guy running off, and you see Rhaegar looking straight up into the sky at whatever the fuck is going on, yelling in the sky. You don't see Norbit,
mm-hmm.
but you do see Shitbag surrounded by a shit ton of grease, with a dinosaur at his feet, Rhaegar doing whatever the fuck he's doing, and then this other guy running away, and all of these other dead bodies just lying here.
And I'm beat up shit.
Yeah, he looks fucked up.
I line my rifle up to take a shot to this guy over here.
Okay.
And in my head, I'm thinking, like, and I was worried for nothing. They don't need me around all the time. I knew I could trust them. I take my shot. And
that hits
23. All right.
So roll your damage, good sir.
I'm not gonna lie, Steve, you'd roll the crit on that. I was going to scream.
I would have fucking left.
That is a 16 plus.
He is dead.
1d6 for sneak damage because I'm still in sneak.
Yeah, you're still in sneak, but the 16, he is for sure dead. You blew his head off. So, Rhaegar, you hear the sound of a gunshot. You turn just in time to see that Mouse is back, and he does that thing where he pulls his rifle up and blows the smoke off the end of his barrel, and then he just shrugs his shoulders.
I just look over and go, "Where the fuck have you been?"
Vacation. You know, all kinds of different seasons.
Oh, yeah. So, you picked a great time for it, didn't you?
I'm going to equate the amount of time that it took while you were in the Feywild. You were in the Feywild for the equivalent of 3 24-hour days.
Oh.
But here, it's only been a matter of minutes.
Does that mean Mouse aged 3 days or just 3 minutes?
No. Just his rules are based off of the material plane, so he ages according to the material plane's aging, unless he stays in the Feywild and remains in the Feywild. So if he decides
if I stayed in the Feywild, I live for a long time, huh?
Yeah.
I thought the loophole.
Yeah. Anyway, but yes, Mouse, you are back. Rhaegar sees you. Norbit, you are hundreds of feet in the air. And
can I do something now?
I mean, yeah, you're out of initiative, so yeah.
I take my knife back.
I am looting bodies.
Roll me an investigation check, Rhaegar. Norbit, the you already know where the knife's at, so I'm not going to make you roll for it. So just grab it.
Can I also roll perception for to see if the ball tusk guy through is still around?
Okay,
18 on the investigation.
So you see some very basic items where like their clothing you can assume is made out of like the dinosaur hides that you've been coming across. You see basic spears, nothing special. The one thing that is special that keeps popping up is the amulet that they're wearing.
You mean the amulet that I've already got?
Yes. They're all wearing one.
I only got a 10.
10? Yeah, you don't see the tusk at all.
Can I take teeth and claws off of the Rex, or is it not big enough?
No, it's big enough.
Don't do Tiny Tina like that. Come on.
I will tell you, cannot put this thing in the bag.
No. I already know what I want to put in the bag. Don't worry about that. I'll come to that.
The fucking bag man's hungry. He's praying you put that in the bag.
Yeah, true, right? Actually, that's a good question. If I open the bag near the fucking Rex, will the bag man grab it?
I will allow you to put a singular tooth in the bag, but that's the max capacity for your bag with all the other shit that's in there.
No, I just want to grab, specifically, how big are the teeth compared to like my scythe?
A lot bigger.
Wait.
Okay. I want to try and grab two teeth and two claws.
Okay. Roll me a nature check, and depending on how well you roll will determine how much of that I give you.
Correct.
I'm fucking done.
Fuck me.
Yeah, take your teeth and take your fucking claws.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Hey, this is an insight into how I was feeling last night.
I'm very depressed.
Mine is gonna reload.
So, Rhaegar, the only thing that stands out to you is the amulet that you keep seeing on all of them.
Okay.
Shitbag tries to wobble over in the grease and slips a bunch of times to the T-Rex, and then just takes a piss on the T-Rex and is like, yeah, that's right. Stay down, bitch.
I'm just going to look at Shitbag and go, hey, respect the dead. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Mouse comes over, and then he takes a piss. He says, that's right.
Mouse takes a piss on the fucking T-Rex. I hate it here.
That's right.
I just look at Mouse just like astonished, going, come on, dude.
What? For some reason I feel like I need to do this. I don't know why.
So I would like to loot these cabins as well while we're here. I feel like I'm gonna be smart for once and actually lose something properly.
Okay, so do an investigation check on the cabins then, and I'll tell you what you find when you...
Which ones are you doing, Norbit?
I only rolled a 7, so I'm probably gonna slip on the grease.
You slip on the grease and...
I'm not even in the grease. No, but...
Oh, wait. Do I slip on the grease? I did go into the grease.
Yeah, Mouse, roll a dexterity saving throw.
I want to investigate the cabin and the two tank-looking things that are up here.
Yeah.
With a 7, I'll only loot this one.
Okay. Norbit, it's basically just very simplistic.
30-20. I think I'm good.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm slowly sliding, like the momentum's still there, and I'm just still pissing off to
my... You see Norbit, like just basic stuff, like beds, you know, books.
Cutlery?
You see just random household items.
I would like to take all of the cutlery.
Okay, you take a couple of wooden, regular spoons and forks.
Okay.
I'll give you 10 of each. 10 wooden spoons and 10 wooden forks.
Okay.
Mouse, you succeed on the dexterity saving throw. You don't slip in the grease. You kind of expect it at this point, and you're able to walk around. In fact, I'll say that the grease at this point is pretty much gone, so I'll just delete it. Rhaegar, I swear to God, did you actually roll that? Yes. Did you actually roll that?
I've been muted this entire time because I've been laughing my ass off.
For those that don't know, this is the 6th nat 20 I've gotten this session.
And this is the first one from me.
Rhaegar?
Yeah? See, if you say I don't see jack shit, I'll fucking kill you.
And then 20 wooden spoons and four.
Okay, so you walk in, Rhaegar, and you see it looks to be like it's a very haphazard office, but it's kind of like an office. You walk in, you see a stacks of paperworks. You see a common name on all of the paperworks. The name is Dr. Elias Crackett. And you see that the reason the name is on there is because these guys have been tracking the doctor. And they're tracking him because he's looking for a very specific item that these guys want in order to please their god. And you already know, after having expected the amulet, of who that god specifically is.
Do the documents mention what the object is that this guy is looking for?
No, it doesn't mention the object. It quite literally just says sacred relic, and that's all it is.
Okay, you said Dr. Elias Crackett.
Elias Crackett, E-L-I-A-S. Last name Crackett, K-R-A-C-K-E-T.
Okay, I spelled that wildly differently, but that's absolutely fine.
Okay, yeah. So you see that name pop up multiple times. You see that it's records of these people that have been tracking him and his group, because that group is looking for a sacred relic, and it's underlined, the word sacred relic. And the doctor is looking for this relic. You don't know why, but these people are also looking for it, and they're wanting it for a completely different reason than the doctor's wanting it for. They want it because of the fact that they want to give it to their god to please their god. So what do you guys do?
I would like to tell my party about the raw I heard.
Okay.
Oh yeah, you didn't relay that to us.
Yeah, I didn't relay
so,
that.
Yeah, so like, there's a lot that you guys need to relate to one another.
Yeah. So I'm going to let them know about the raw. I'm going to say rough guess that it was about 2 days away. It sounded very fucking hefty. That's me being generous in that wording. Also, there's a camp with some old dude about... How far away was it, Tony? You said I could see it when I was 200 meters up in the sky.
Yeah, so it's right at the edge of the mountain.
Yeah, I would say... mayhem hit the mountain about the guy, the old guy. Didn't he have a fucking spyglass or something?
Yeah, he had a spyglass, and he was looking in the direction of this camp.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, mayhem, that's why I remember. That's why I want to tell you, because I'm assuming that's...
Oh,
whatever his name was.
Is that Crackett?
You don't know because you haven't met him. But you can, of course, go in that direction and find out. But you can kind of put two and two together that's a possibility, yes.
I would also like to ask Ray, now because Ray got like skin direct.
No, I'm gonna leave Tiny Tina alone.
You don't ever want Rex meat?
I mean, I've got boar meat and I've got 9 days worth of rations. Technically, I've got 11 days worth of rations. I'm good.
But Rex meat is so much better.
Yeah.
You know what, Tana? I would like to put a little bit of Rex meat in Pigeon. In the cage. In his chest.
Okay.
As well as a little bit of skin.
Roll me another nature check and I will tell you how much you get with that roll.
18.
I will give you enough Rex meat for 2 days ration, and I will give you enough skin to use to make a piece of armor.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Yep, I'm done then. That's me completely out of options.
Okay. Rhaegar and Mouse, is there anything you want to relay information-wise?
Nope.
Mouse?
Wait till we're in the safety of wherever the fuck we were originally heading.
Okay, so you guys have an option. Do you want to go and inspect the camp that Norbit mentioned, or do you want to use this camp as a base camp and get like a long rest here?
Norbit's going to suggest we don't do that since I heard the fucking roar.
It's up to you.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to find somewhere that was a little bit more secure.
Yeah.
So, do you guys want to go to the other camp?
Well, we don't know if that's secure.
You don't,
I mean, we'll start heading. We can start heading that way. But
the only place that you know for a 100% fact that is the safest place that you know of is back in the Enclave, where the animals are at.
So we have Enclave or Camp or here. I'm down to either Enclave or the other Camp.
We can go with the Camp. I'm good. We can fight some more. I'm down.
I would ideally like to get a long rest because I am pretty beat up at the moment.
No, we can rest first.
Yeah, we can go to the Enclave real quick, rest up, and then... Hey, are we actually closer to the other camp, Tony, if we go back to the Enclave?
You're about halfway in between the two of them.
Right, well, I'll say for mayhem's sake, we'll go to the Enclave, we'll rest up, and then we'll head to the camp. Sounds like a decent plan.
All right, you guys are back at the Enclave.
First things first, that I want to do is I want to go see Femre.
Okay.
What time of day is it by the time that we get back there?
It is night, so I'm going to say roughly about between 7 to 9 p.m.
I call Rhaegar over to speak with him.
Buddy, come here. I have a gift for you. I do a lot together. I had my back. I wanted to get you something. So, where I went, I was on another plane of existence. I got to meet some very interesting people. And you remember the slender things? The shimmers. That's what
yeah,
it was
I
like.
The yeah,
shimmers.
I remember that. Yeah,
I fought the whole army of those. Yeah, you
make
should have seen me.
Check, you fucking
I'm gonna make an insight check on that.
Make a deception check and Rhaegar roll an insight check. I swear to God, Mouse, if you crit, I
it's a trap.
30-20.
Oh my God. What did you roll?
I rolled a 12.
Okay. You fully believe him.
Yeah, I
was thousands of them, but granted,
hold up. Shitbag fully believes you too. He's like, you fought an army of those motherfuckers?
Of course, this is Miles, this is me.
You're so fucking brilliant.
I know. Granted, it was thousands, but granted, it was nighttime. You know how they are at night. You know, they're not good in the dark.
Oh, yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah. I was blasting shots. I was just almost ran out of ammo.
You had
almost
to take out over like thousands of these things?
I was shooting so many at once, man. It was going through them. Like, I mean, come on. They're pretty practically so weak in the dark. I was like shooting glass walls, you know, and hitting other glass walls behind them. You should have seen me. But besides that, that's not why I called you over here, you know. No, I should tell that story to that fish. But anyway, I'm getting distracted. I wanted to give you this, and I pull the ruby ball sack out of my bag.
Okay. Ruby ball sack out of the bag. Rhaegar, you see that he pulls what looks to be like this ruby crystal ball that's sitting on top of what looks to be like a very intricate mantelpiece with these sigils that you're not familiar with, that none of you are. You've never seen these runes before.
From what I've been told, as long as you have something of the individual, whether like the individual that's passed on, you should be able to talk to them. But it has to, you have to have an item that belonged. Was it belonged to a person or?
It had to be an item that in some way, shape, or fashion belonged to the person in question. Mm. And it's something that they cherished.
Ah, you have to have a cherished item of the person. So I don't know if you do or not, but I mean, it's a start that maybe you could see your family again.
I hand him the orb.
Rhaegar, what do you do?
I stare just mindlessly at this orb, listening intently to what Mouse says, and...
Yeah, be careful. If you don't have an item that they cherished, apparently some demon comes out, or one of the nine lords of hell or something, which You know, I'm cool to go, you know, take that chance.
Yeah,
you
are, I, you know, start looking at this orb, like, just like, what the fuck, bro? And I just look at Mace, and I'm just like, hey, I don't know what to say.
I don't think about it. I was gone for a long, no, not really a long time. I was gone like an hour, I think. Oh, I also ran into, some Maddie guy, and who was the other, the bad guy again?
You ran into Adam.
Yeah. I ran into that asshole, Adam. Well, I didn't run into him, you know, I was kind of, like, peeping through his window like a creep.
Wait. You saw Adam?
Yes, I saw him. Very scary moment. I almost pissed myself. That was after the fight with the thousands of shimmers, you know. You know, I slaughtered that army, and then I saw the light in this big tower. I went through the tower. I saw him in there. He had torching a guy, you know. So after he left.
Rhaegar, before you say anything, because I know you've got a lot that you want to bring up, Mouse, do you bring any of the information up that you learned about the truth of Aemon and Adam?
Yeah, eventually I like ramble on about where I was, what happened, and all that.
Okay, so Rhaegar, you were relayed the entire story as to everything that happened to Mouse. You kind of sit there and like listen intently, especially after the fact that he mentioned your brother's name. And he gets to the part of his true identity that he is originally Asmodeus.
Yeah, see? Asshole. It's all A's.
It would appear that we are in a far more serious situation than we thought.
I think the worst thing right now is, you know, pronouncing his name, and we know him. I don't blame him. Asmodeus, that's a mouthful right there. Adam's very simpler. Wait, what are we talking about?
I think we need to get to your island as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And just pray that whatever reason that looms over us for having to go there brings us one step closer to ending this once and for all. Because
right.
The longer we leave this shit, the worse it's gonna get.
We have to get off whatever fucking place we are right now.
Well, and I tap my backpack and I just go, well, we've got the map of the island, so we should be able to find our way to the castle. We should be able to get there in the next couple of days. Just
right.
Whatever it is that we're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and just get the fuck off this island. I don't know about you, but there's something out there. I think Norbit told us a little bit earlier, and I don't want to stick around to find out what the hell that thing is.
You know, in y'all's record, y'all are going to try to tame it. Yeah, you guys always trying to bring in more animals. We don't need no more pets. Stop bringing in pets, right? Okay? I only have so many rations. And why is that bunny holding a staff? Just want to kill me.
It's because it knows how to use it. But the bunny and the squirrel is, or the fox is not in there at the moment. It's just the three of you. Rhaegar, I'm going to ask you very specifically, and I'm going to allow you what the remainder of the time we have now. Do you want to use the item?
Just as the conversation between Rhaegar and Mouse comes to a natural end, I'm going to pick up my backpack and go and find a quiet, sort of peaceful part of the settlement that we're in.
Okay.
Probably somewhere around one of the water fountains that make up the central pathway. I'll let you decide, Tony, either the top or the one down near the bottom.
You can stay in the top.
Oh, man, he's going to have to deal with the fish.
No.
Did you kill him?
No,
they didn't kill them. I didn't kill them. They were just unconscious.
He did non-lethal damage to the fish. They're still there, unfortunately.
Extremely painful non-lethal damage.
Rhaegar's going to sit down. He's going to put his backpack beside him. And leaning back against the statue that's in the middle of that little stone island area, He's going to pull out two items. He's going to pull out the hip flask, and he's going to pull out the orb that Mouse gave him. And for the remainder of the night, until he falls asleep, he is going to sit not entirely in silence. He's going to drink and just stare at the orb, contemplating the decision that has been put literally in his hands. He's going to look to the backpack one more time, and just as his hand goes to reach for it, there's this little flicker of doubt, almost like he doesn't know whether or not what he has on him will work, and he doesn't know whether he wants to take the risk, judging by what Mouse told him, is potentially summoning one of the nine demon lords of hell.
Yeah, so I'll relay the information. It might change your mind if I relay it a little bit more in detail. It only does that if you try to summon a being using an object that the being is not familiar with. So, for example, let's say that Mouse tried to summon his sister using the hair off of Shitbag's ass. It would summon a demon lord from the nine hells.
Oh. To be honest, I'm pretty sure if you plucked a hair from his ass, it'd summon a demon lord anyway.
Well, it gives the point across, right?
Summon something.
So it gets the point across, right? But if you use an item that you know that you have, and you're very detailed and specific as to exactly who you want to bring forth, the item will work. But again, it's a one-time use. Yeah. Once you use this, it disintegrates. It's gone. It's done. The magic is wore away.
I'm going to save that for next session.
Okay. If you're going to save it, I'm going to make you make a roll.
Oh, no.
This is something that even with his crit, he did not roll high enough for.
Oh, no.
Rhaegar, I need you to roll me a wisdom saving throw with disadvantage.
Can't last in the material world for long.
Fucking Adam's gonna fucking appear and just like push me inside the crystal.
Roll and you will find out.
Okay, with disadvantage, that is 15.
You fail.
Oh shit.
Now, I want you to listen very intensely as to what I'm about to tell you.
Hi, guys.
You're not dead. You're not.
Yes.
But I want you to listen vividly as to the very exact words that I'm about to relay to you as you fall asleep and you have this object next to you. You have a dream. It's a very vivid dream. Do you remember when you were in that mirror room? And you and Mouse were at your farm, and it was all black and white?
Yes.
This is where the source of that magic derives from.
The magic that took me from the mirror room to my farm, that school of magic, or that type of magic, originates from this crystal.
Yes. And it's necromancy. You find yourself in your cornfield. It is not black and white. It is just as vivid and just as colorful as you last remembered it. You're standing in the middle of your field. On one side, you see somebody facing away from you. You turn around. You see a smaller person facing away from you. Choose.
So one of them is smaller, one of them's roughly my height?
One of them is smaller, one of them is roughly about your height, but they're both facing away from you, and they both have a white cloak over them to where that you cannot see any of their features. Choose which one you go to.
Smaller.
Okay. You turn around and you walk. You touch the shoulder of the smaller being. You turn her around. You can tell it's Kayla, but she has no face. She's barren. She has no eyes. She has no lips. She has nothing. She is emotionless. She looks straight into your face. She grabs you by your waist and she starts to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. She then lets go and she then disappears. And you're back at your house. It's at the moment of when it was in flames. You see Adam and the vampire dwarven maiden standing at the foot of the cabin. You look to them, but you see a third figure. You see yourself. But your figure is different than what you currently look like. Your skin is more of a dark blue. Your hair has become from a white color to almost like a gray, sinister. You look at yourself and you see yourself in their eyes. Their eyes are black, as if the very essence of what you know yourself as Rhaegar is gone. You watch as Adam and the vampire maiden just smile. They snap their fingers and they disappear. You watch as you yourself, your alternate self, pulls out a great axe. It looks exactly like the one that you currently wield. As you watch your house burn, and you hear the blood-curdling screams of what you know is to be your wife and child dying inside of the house.
Oh.
Rhaegar, I'm going to have you roll initiative. What did you roll?
Take a wild stab in the dark, hot shot.
Did you roll a nat 20?
Oh, fucking.
You did? Okay. I did roll a 19 on the roll. So you will get to go first in the initiative order, but you are fighting yourself. And you're going to do this alone. And that is the end of this session. Thank you guys so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. I'm going to let my players end tonight's session and tell me what they thought.
Just nat 20.
That's quite literally what this fucking episode is going to be called, is when everybody rolls nat 20s.
You get a nat 20. You get a nat 20. And that you get a nat 20.
Fucking brutal.
Points to the DM. You don't get a nat 20.
Again, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this session. It was a very detailed one. One that was heavily role-played, and I quite enjoyed it. I did not expect to have to go that detailed because of all the fucking nat 20s, but it is what it is. So you guys got yourselves a little treat. And I hope that my players and the people that will listen to this episode have quite enjoyed it.
Are you seeking some slick new gaming gear to add to your arsenal? Our friends over at Inked Gaming have developed their site into a one-stop shop for all of your tabletop gaming needs. From vibrant-looking dice to cleverly designed dice bags to sweet sleeves, play mats, and a whole lot more. Their site is rich with quality goods that will help you up your game. Team Inked has been a friendly, reliable supplier to the gaming community for nearly 10 years, and we want them to continue growing for the next 100. In fact, we love their products so much that they didn't even approach us to promote them on our podcast. We wanted to utilize our affiliation with Inked to let people know about their gear. So head on over to inkedgaming.com today and get your hands on some awesome gear that matches your game and your style.